I want to begin by going back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. You know, the Apostle Paul said things written aforetime were written for our learning. That's the key. The Old Testament is for our learning. He did not say that the Old Testament is our law. We are under the law of grace, the New Testament. But the Old Testament is for our learning. There are many, many wonderful truths in the Old Testament that we can go and we can learn much about God, and we can learn much about God's will to man and how God has dealt with man in the past. And I'm going to use such a lesson tonight, something that we'll start out in the Old Testament on. And I'm not going to give my subject until I explain certain things that will lead up to it. I think you'll appreciate it more. You can understand it better. Sometimes when you give a subject, if people have not exactly thought about it before, they'll spend the rest of that time for the next few minutes kind of figure the subject out and miss what all you had to say. So I want to lay the foundation for it. And then when we do give the subject, you'll be ready to move on into the other part of it. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? You remember these young men who were the first two boys born into the world? They were the first sons of Adam and Eve. And they began their life in the shadow of paradise because their father and mother sinned and were driven out of that beautiful home, the Garden of Eden, that paradise. These boys had to begin their life outside of paradise. They never had the privilege of enjoying this beautiful garden of God. That just goes to show you that what we do as adults and as heads of families may sometime very well determine whether our children are going to have a good life or they're going to have a bad life. No doubt Adam and Eve were not thinking about children and what they would miss by not having the privilege for that garden, but whatever the case is, in this particular case, these boys never had the privilege. But right on the outside, Satan got after Adam and Eve in the garden, and he was successful in causing them both to sin. But old Satan won't let up. He is constantly trying to destroy mankind, constantly trying to destroy a man who was made in the image of God. The old devil followed Adam and Eve right on out of the garden and followed them right on wherever they moved and lived next. He was right there. And he manifested himself in an awful way in that something terrible happened with these two boys, Cain and Abel. One was a farmer and the other one was a shepherd. And these boys, what happened to them is most unusual. And I like to go to this case, because sometimes when you want to get to the bottom of problems, the bottom of situations, so you can really understand it, sometimes you have to go back to the beginning. And I'm going to be talking about a religious situation that's giving us trouble even to this day. And if it's ever settled, we're going to have to respect what happened in the very beginning. There are a number of first things that took place then. Genesis, the book of beginning, the book of first things. And when you go back there, these were the first two boys born into the world. And this also is a story of the first case where God required worship. In other words, a record of it, where God required worship. And also, this is the first case where we read about any religious division, where someone was worshiping God one way and someone was worshiping God another. It's not anything new now. Today we have plenty of that. Nearly everywhere you turn, we've got every kind of church that you can think of. And different people worshiping God in different ways. Well, the first case that we ever have on record is in the book of Genesis. And it would not hurt us at all tonight to look into that and kind of investigate it and just see how God felt about it and whether God approved of it or not. And just what happened. So that was this first case of religious division. This was the first time that we read where somebody introduced into worship to God something that God had not authorized. We got plenty of it now. Nearly every denomination on the face of the earth owes its existence to introducing into the program of worship things that God have not authorized. Well, it's not new. The first case we have of it was in the case of the story about Cain and Abel. And not only that, but this was the first time where God demonstrated his approval of a certain kind of worship, and its disapproval of another kind of worship. Oh, you can learn a whole lot from the book of Genesis and this fourth chapter, especially when you're looking into the business of worshiping God, divine worship and acceptable worship. But I'm working my way to the subject. And you know, many of you are familiar with the story that when God required of these boys worship, and one of them offered unto God a lamb, that was Abel. But Cain, he offered God fruit from the ground. And as the story goes, God accepted the offering of Abel and rejected the offering of Cain. And it caused Cain to be upset. Cain didn't like that. And not only that, but Cain became envious and jealous, I guess, of Abel. And this jealousy and this envy, it built up until Cain rose up one day and slew his brother Abel. And it all came from a religious background. And you know, it hasn't changed today. Some of the low-downest things you ever heard tell of being committed today, it has a religious background. Have any of you been? Have you been watching some of these late shows that they have now? It's getting very popular. Where different ones, Geraldo and all those fellas, and Oprah Winfrey and all them, and they got some weird stuff coming on. People doing everything. There was a woman who called herself a high priestess, the way you get converted, you had to have sex with her, and she had converted about 2,000 men. They got religion under her system. But can you imagine? We say, ooh, that's terrible. But it had a religious tone. Some of the lowest things that have ever happened, it starts out with religion. Anytime people have got enough gall to go against what the God says in matters of religion, and their conscience is so hardened that they will disrespect God in those matters, well, then there's no problem for these same people to go get off into other things that can be terribly immoral. So what I'm saying is that it's no new thing that a thing can start out in religion, and before it's over with, it can end up into some very, very corrupt and immoral situation. Good to see a number coming in from Chattanooga. I was told that some would be up here tonight. Sorry they're just a little bit late, but at least they're here to get on into the business of this message. I'm laying the foundation right now. And so we get back to this case that we're discussing. And remember, these boys had offered up their offering, and because Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's offering was rejected, Cain got angry, and he rose up against his brother and he killed him. We got the first murder that we have on record. It was Cain slaying his brother Abel. And of course, God came to him and asked him, where's your brother? Cain made those famous, infamous words. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And God let him know. I believe this is in Genesis 4 and 10. And get that for me, please, somebody. Get me Genesis 4 and 10. We got some Chattanooga brothers here. I know they're ready to go and do some reading for us if we need it. I want you to get Genesis 4 and 10, and I want someone else to get Hebrews 11 and 4. Just come on down, brothers. Plenty of room down here. That's Brother Stone, all right. And so something happened here, and Cain had slain his brother, and God called him in question, and he says, am I my brother's keeper? And then, of course, God let him know, I know what you've done. And in Genesis 4:10, what did God say to Cain? Read.
And he said, what hast thou done?
What have you done?
The voice of thy brother's blood.
He said, the voice of thy brother's blood
cried unto me. From the ground.
You know, isn't that a strange thing? God said, the voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me. It seemed like in this case that this blood was talking. This is a strange thing. This is talking blood. And he says, your brother's blood, his voice of his blood has spoken unto me, has cried unto me. And in other words, telling God about what had happened here. It cried unto God. This blood did. Then when you go to the New Testament, and when we go to the Hall of Faith, and in Hebrews 11 and 4, the writer there makes a marvelous statement concerning this same thing. Now, do we have Hebrews 11 and 4? Let's see what it says there.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more